Welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast, where we believe being together, being encouraged, and being equipped matters.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Refuel Worship Podcast. I am your host, David Cummings. I'm here with my friends, Chris Lehane and Brent Thomas.
Hey everybody.
How's it going?
It's good to be together again today. It is, for us, it's Monday morning. We purposely kind of chosen this day to record this because Sunday is pretty fresh. It's like just happened.
And if you remember it.
If you remember it,
it's fresh, yeah.
It's fresh. And so, like, that's part of the reason why we plan recording this podcast on Mondays is because it's right. Fresh and we're able to talk about it, which kind of leads us into actually our first segment, right? The segment we've called Wonders and Blunders.
Wonders and blunders. You know, I was thinking it's funny. I think a lot of times when you go for the wonder, it can lead to a blunder. Ooh. But then sometimes out of the blunders comes a wonder. And they're both kind of in there. But as worship leaders, we know what it means to get up in front of a lot of people in certain contexts. And sometimes things just go a direction we weren't anticipating at all, either good or bad. And that happened to me. One of my most infamous stories, I just have to share this. I want to get this out as often as possible because I think there's something about making fun of yourself that helps it kind of reduce the pain of thinking about it, right?
Dude, I'm so ready for this.
So there was we do a Good Friday service at our church, and it's kind of a darker, moodier type of feel every year. And so we're kind of going for the, you know, we really want to lean into the idea of what it would have felt like on the day that Jesus died. And it's a hard thing. So sometimes those moodier elements lend themselves more to the creative, you know, because we all are tortured artists in our souls to some level.
Does that mean you get like black nail polish and wear that?
Yeah, I mean, I've almost
glow
been
in the
there.
Dark, yeah. Black nail.
Yeah, exactly. welcome. And so there was this one. The idea was, if you grew up around the same time I did, there was this song that came out. I'm blanking on the name now, but Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap. Remember? Yep. What you say? All right. So what was so cool about that and so like mesmerizing was it was pure just vocoder synth type of thing that was going on, just fascinating as a musical element. And I've just always been intrigued by that. So I was like, what if there was a way to do that in a worship service? And so it was all kind of technology and plugins and things hooked up to this keyboard that we were going to roll out for this opening element. And it was the old song, and he walks with me and he talks with me. Right. And so it fit really well in our theme. So I come out and we had already done it once and it went really well. And people were like, oh, this really powerful moment. And so we get to the last service, the 6 o'clock service for our Good Friday gatherings. And we get out there and I'm playing. And again, it was all in my in-ears. I'm hearing everything. It's going really well. And there was a video element that was going to happen right after me. And I'm playing through the song and I'm kind of, my eyes are closed. I'm in it. I'm like, this was the best I've ever done at this. Like the room must just be following me like crazy. It's dark in there. So I can't really see what's going on, but I'm like, this is a great element. And I look out of the corner of my eye and I see that the video's playing on our screen. And I'm like, that's weird. Somebody missed a cue. And I'm just like, kind of keep going. And then I'm noticing that the lights are just completely black on stage now and the video is still playing and everybody's kind of looking over at the video screen, not paying attention to me. And I'm still singing into this microphone, like the big synth vocoder stuff going on in my ears. And then I look and one of our producers is standing right next to me. And so I like stop abruptly. I pull up my in-ears and he's like, you good? And I'm like, I guess. And I come off stage, come to find out I'd been out there for about 3 minutes and the keyboard wasn't working. It wasn't coming through the house at all. And so I was just like that kind of noise. If you hear that on the podcast, this is me pounding on a keyboard that's making no noise and singing just dry vocal in the room. And people just had to listen to that for about 2.5 minutes. And then we went to a video. So just was like huge blunder moment. And the wonder of that is I got an email from a lady the next day that said, I loved that a cappella song that you sang at the beginning. Because she had no idea that it wasn't supposed to happen like that, and it blessed her, but everyone else in the room had no idea. So there's
blunders
the blunder. Wonders and blunders. So there's the blunder for you.
I love it. I love it. Man, yeah, one of the blunders we had, this wasn't like last Sunday, but a little while ago, you know, so every once in a while we'll have some tracks in the midst of what we're doing, you know, just to add a couple things. And so we're doing, you know, we're doing a very familiar song. This is Amazing Grace. And we have the tracks going, and man, we power through that song. We power through like our main package of worship, and we go back after as the pastor comes up, and we head back and we're talking as a team. And I was like, oh, this was great. This is good. And then one of our team players is like, dude, what was going on during This Is Amazing Grace? Like, something was totally off key. Like, I was like, how did I not hear that? Like, and so like that happens to be during the service that we record for live stream.
Yeah.
And so sure enough, we pull it up, and I mean, this is a good team moment because we're all huddling together behind somebody's phone and they're like scrolling back and we're like, oh man, yeah, that's not good. We're all playing in one key and the track is coming through like
different key.
Oh, and no. We're like, I mean, this is like a worship probs, like video just waiting to happen. And so we go back and we're like, all right, well, we're going to pull that off of the live stream, and
it doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't exist. And so, so the next service that we did, we went out there and we made sure that the track was in the right key, and everything went well after that. But yeah, I mean, it was just, again, one of those things where you kind of laugh, you know, like you kind of wonder in that moment, like, who in the audience like was like, what was up with that song? Yeah. And we didn't have anybody come talk to us. So we're like,
shout out to your grace-filled congregation who just were like, bless his heart. He's trying so hard out
there. We just love him so much.
He's such a nice guy. He doesn't sing or play real well, but he's a nice guy. He's got a good heart. So yeah, I mean, it was like one of those things where it's like, all right, guys, we're gonna keep going. Smile. It's like when, you know, you do something and you mess up, and especially like if it's a new song, nobody, like, usually if you don't change your face,
nobody knows.
Yeah. So it was a good blunder. And it was, the wonder behind it was like, yeah, let's always make sure the keys are in the right track.
Yes, absolutely.
So, well,
sometimes the blunders are because of maybe mistakes we make, you know, and I think we talk about this just to kind of humanize this whole thing. Cause, I think we all, every worship leader out there, everybody that stands on a platform and teaches or leads music or plays an instrument at some point makes a mistake. Right. And other people happen to see it. But that happens to all of us, whether you've been doing it for 2 months or 2 years or 20 years, but sometimes the blunders happen because of technical failure. And this is, we didn't talk about this, but as you were sharing, I'm like, oh, this just happened last week. We have a Nord keyboard, a Stage 3 on our platform. And we use it primarily for like pads and maybe an organ sound here, but a lot of times it's pads. And 2 weeks ago, we're leading Great I Am. And at the beginning, it's real gentle and kind of piano and a voice and a little bit of acoustic guitar picking and then the pad in the background. And one of our other volunteer leaders was leading the song. And I'm listening and I'm going, what is that very strange dissonant sound? And I realize it's the keyboard. Oh. And I kind of look over, this is our second service, and I look over and this, the gal who's playing keyboard has this like panic look on her face, and she's looking down at the keyboard going like, what is going on? Her hands are off the keyboard in the air, and she's like hitting the damper pedal, you know, the sustain pedal. Yeah. And then she just reaches back and she turns it off, and I'm like, I don't know, that's the weirdest thing. What is happening? So then the next song, she actually just sits there the whole time because she's like, she powered it back on and then it wouldn't work. And she's like, what is going on? So what we ended up finding out, here's the technical side of this. What we ended up finding out is that the sustain pedal had failed on us and it stuck on.
Oh, no.
So every time you played a new chord, it stacked that chord on top of the next chord, on top of the next chord. It created this massive sound of this dissonant sound. And it's very gentle, you know.
Yeah.
I wanna be close. You know, so sometimes it's mistakes we make and sometimes it's just technical failures. Now, fortunately, we had another sustain pedal that we brought in and the next service worked just fine. But like I said, sometimes the blunders are just stuff breaks, stuff fails, right? Yeah. So, and you just have to learn to kind of roll with that. We pulled that service from Livestream. There's nothing more humbling sometimes than looking back at Livestream and go like, yeah, I thought that was a little weird. And then, it was super weird. Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if you guys ever do this. Like, you know, you lead and you like, you think that like when you're leading, you have like that worship leader face, and then you go back and you watch yourself. I'm like, why did I make that face? Like, what did I do?
Why am I so angry?
Why do I look like an angry worship leader? Like, I love this song. I love our people. And you go back, and I just think it's always good to go back, because sometimes you don't realize some of the stuff that you do that some people, you know, they go back and like, yeah, you always do that. And like,
I think that, I think going back, and this is a sidebar, I think going back and watching or listening is really, really helpful. If you go back and you look at it and try and figure out what did I do well and how can I improve, that's super helpful.
Absolutely.
It's like a football team goes back and they watch film. Why do they do that? So they can identify what did we do really well and what did we not do well and how can we improve in that? And I think looking back at old film is a really, really helpful tool. And that, I mean, the world we live in now, most churches in some way live stream, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
And so whether you know, someone is a guitar, if you're listening to this and you're a guitar player, go back and listen to how your tone sounds through the live stream. Go back and listen to the bass, your drums. You know, if you're a worship leader, somebody singing harmony, playing, go back and listen. Because sometimes you think that part you played was like really cool, and then you listen to it and you're like, yeah, that was like too much. So I think that's kind of a little bit of a sidebar. But wonders and blunders. So we talked a little bit about some blunders. Sometimes there are these surprise wonder moments that happen that kind of catch you by surprise. And so this last week we were leading worship, and we chose to incorporate an older song. Some people may not even know this song. It's called As the Deer. And we came out of—
Can you sing it for us real quick, Dave?
As the Deer.
Okay, that's enough.
That's enough. Okay. So we came out of Forever Rain, and then we went into like just this really gentle rendition of at least part of As the Deer. And as we're leading it, the room, just something special started to happen in the room.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Like, we just thought, here's an older song that kind of connects with the theme and we'll kind of weave it in. I think it'd be really meaningful. But then the Lord just really used it. The chorus is this really simple prayer of surrender. And it was just a really wonderful moment in the midst of worship. It wasn't really one we planned to be wonderful, but like the Lord just worked. And so sometimes God works through old songs and new songs. But that was a really special moment for us on Sunday, which kind of leads us into the next segment that we've kind of titled Super Song of the Week. Super Song of the Week.
Great transition, Dave.
It's great. We come up with really good segment titles. It's awesome.
So in this segment, we want to talk about maybe some new songs, or maybe kind of like what happened for us on Sunday, an older song that was kind of like, that was really, really special. So guys, share about a couple super songs that have been maybe connecting with your church. Maybe it's new or maybe it's old.
Yeah. I mean, to go off the old, we did this a little while ago, and we did Give Us Clean Hands. And so I think there is such value in that. I mean, I just remember watching, kind of looking out and seeing the congregation. There was a good majority who just closed their eyes and were able to sing. You know, in that, because it wasn't necessarily a new song that we were doing that they had to like stick focused, or even one that maybe isn't new, but maybe they're not as familiar with. And it was just, I think there's times for that. But one that we've done that's new is Made for More, Josh Baldwin. And we just started incorporating it. And I think it was just, you know, you find those songs that hit seasons. For your congregation, things like that. Like a little while ago, we did I Speak Jesus, such a great song. And it was so super meaningful for a season of time that we were in. It just seemed to be the right one. And I feel like Made for More is just one that seems to resonate with lots of different people, lots of different places in life and your journey and your own discipleship. But we're 2 weeks in, and I just feel like the congregation, you know, has really connected with it. I had a couple of people ask, like, hey, what was that new name of that new song that we just did? And so I as people have been engaged in that, some of the opportunities to declare what God's done, and that reminder that we're not just here to live on planet Earth and just kind of go and put our time in at work,
but that there's a greater purpose for us. That, like, we've been renewed, refreshed. We've been born again because of the blood of Christ and what he's done. And because of that, we have a greater purpose, that we're made for more in what we do. And as it's resonated with me, my desire as a worship leader is always that it's not just a song that resonates with me, but it's something that resonates with our congregation as we come together and we lift our voices together, that it's songs that we can rally behind and declare before the Lord as we celebrate what he's done. So,
yeah, two things on that song that I think are beautiful. One is it's actually a fairly simple song. It's a verse, chorus, bridge song.
Yep.
So it's actually fairly simple for a congregation to grab a hold of. The other thing, the other comparison I would make, maybe somebody out there is like, what's the song about? I haven't heard this. Go check it out, number one. But number two would be it's similar in theme to the song Who You Say I Am.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where it talks about that song talks about being chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. Very similar message to Made for More. But great song, great song. And there's a new version out there with Jen Johnson and Josh Baldwin. That I personally like. Not everyone likes it because it's not the original Josh Baldwin version, but it's a great song. Great song.
Yeah. That's such a hipster thing to say, Dave. Like, I like this one that nobody else listens to. But it's cool.
Well, no, it's a great song. If you know me, you know I'm not a hipster.
We can tell that by how you dress. It's okay.
Yeah.
Ouch. I do have feelings. I've had feelings. I'm sensitive.
We love you,
tortured
Dave.
Artist. Yeah.
He's going to get that black nail polish out.
Exactly. Yeah. He's over there painting his nails.
I'm leaving now.
I think, we've been talking a lot about songs. I'm grateful for, these moments where the Lord puts an older song or a song that, you know, maybe meant a lot kind of back in front of a new season or whatever. And we kind of had that Sunday just closing, you know, I was talking with our pastor about what his message, how it was going to land. And he's talking through it and, you know, he's like talking about his closing, and he was a worship pastor for 15 years in our church. So he's just naturally thinking about that handoff back to the worship team. And so he's kind of talking through his close, and I'm just kind of jiving with him. And I just start with, draw me close to you, like just kind of laughing about it a little bit. And he's like, honestly, he's like, I had that same thought for that song. And I'm like, let's do it, man. Let's pull it back out. And so we did it. And kind of, you know, you play it in a more modern style and change some of those older chords. You know, you're like, we'll just stay on the four instead of going to the flat seven. It's fine. And, we're singing it in the room, and it was the same thing. Just watched like the Spirit just use that to like kind of punctuate his message in the right way. And for people to go, yes, that is what I want. Like, you're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. So that one was really special just this last week. And well, one we haven't done yet, but that I'm really excited about is Love of God, which is this new kind of newer one by Brandon Lake and Phil Wickham. And I don't know if you guys have noticed this. There's been kind of a resurgence of hymn style songs that are being written. And so that one is that it's very much like a hymn feel, kind of has a 10,000 Reasons kind of vibe to it, where it's a lot of verses and refrains type of thing. But man, every time I'm listening to this song, it's like it's deep, it's rich, but it's got this like anthem feel to it. And the title gives it away. It's, you know, obviously the love of God. So it's the gospel story all throughout it. And so we're anticipating to introduce that one here soon, and I'll report back how it goes. But I think there's something beautiful about recognizing the heritage of the church, mm-hmm. whether it be these old choruses or the hymns, are finding their place in this modern era, where maybe, you know, there might be pressure of like, we got to sing only the newest upbeat, fast driving, you know, pop song or whatever to be relevant. And I think even our modern songwriters are seeing like, no, there was something really good about that era that we want to draw back in and say in fresh language. So I'm just excited for that. And even writing songs for our church right now has been a beautiful thing in that, and trying to think through how can we say what's already been sung, mm-hmm. but how can we say in a fresh way for our congregation in this place? And I know, Dave, you're doing that at your place too. It's been really encouraging. So yeah, excited about where the songs are going in the church. But
yeah, I think at some point we've talked about having a deeper conversation about how we go about planning and how you include some new fresh music, but also not lose connection to your roots, to the songs that have deep meaning in your church's heritage, that And there's health in that.
Yeah.
There's health in that. And so I look forward to, we'll have another deeper conversation about that maybe another day.
Yeah.
Here's just one quick song for someone to go listen to if they're looking for another new song. There's a song we started doing a couple weeks ago. Well, it's been a couple months ago. We took a little bit of a break and came back to it, but it's called Look to the Lamb. And it's very gospel centric, great song. Has some lines that just, and every once in a while you probably find a song like this, so you just go like, when every time I sing that line, something happens in my soul.
Yeah, yeah.
And it has a couple lines like that, that I just love to sing and declare. And then when I hear the church sing and declare it, I go like, come on now, let's go.
Yep.
So, that's a little bit of a segment. That's a segment we've titled Super Song of the Week. We'll probably come back to that.
Super Song of the Week. Super Song.
Sunday. That's
right. we'll come back to that again next time. But we want to move to another segment that we've entitled Tips, Tricks, and Tools. And we want to pick up on a conversation that we started last week about how do you connect and care for volunteers. And this week, though, we want to pivot a little bit and talk about how do we go about coaching of volunteers, coaching the members of our team to help them continue to develop and continue to grow in whatever skill they have, whatever role they play on the team. It could be somebody on the production team. It could be a guitar player. It could be an audio engineer. It could be a worship leader on your team. So how do we go about coaching the leaders around us to help them become better? And we all have been doing this for a little while, and so we thought we'd take a few moments and share some of the ways that we go about that. And it all starts with one word for me. It all starts with relationships.
Yeah.
So maybe we can talk about that. Like, how do we begin this coaching process? And if it all starts in relationships, where does it go from there? If I don't have a, and I'll say this, if I don't have a relationship with someone, at least a base level, it's going to be very difficult to coach them. So if I don't know them, it's going to be really difficult to speak into their lives. So we've got to start there with a base foundational element. Like, you have to build relationships with the people on your team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that goes back to even our conversation last time. Like, when it comes to care, you know, you want to have that relationship with them, and it's that same side of things. Like, when it comes to your team, again, we don't want people just to come in and out and it feel like a job or a duty, but we want them to have community, and community comes through relationship. And that's, I mean, if you think back to any like really meaningful relationships that we have with anybody, mentors or whether it's youth leaders, pastors, whatever, especially if it's like things that you want to encourage them on or press them in, it means so much more when it comes with relationship than just somebody off the street being like, hey, you need to do this or that. And so I think relationship is key. You got to have that within your team relationships. And I think it's something we can always do better is continue to build relationship. Yeah. But when it comes to that coaching side, I think it's, if you don't have it, it makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to say, you hit on something really important. It's not a one-time. Relationships are not a one-time. You have one cup of coffee with this person and now you like check it off the list and never go back to it.
Yeah.
Because people change, life changes. And so you need to stay current with the people on your team, continue to build relationships. And we have a large team. And I'll be honest, sometimes it's a little overwhelming. I'm like, man, I feel like I'm swinging and missing sometimes as a leader on that. I wish I had more time. I think it's an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Building relationships in it is foundational.
Yeah, and I think relationships will lead to the coaching naturally, meaning as you get to know your people, you're going to start to see areas where the improvement or the, you know, their desires to improve and grow will come out in those conversations. I think if like we walked in to our worship leadership, I was just talking to a friend this morning about kind of the ministry of a worship pastor. And I'm kind of like, I kind of look at it as like, there's green room ministry, there's platform leadership, and then there's like lobby leadership. So like green room meaning, which sounds like a bad term. And you know, it's the stigma of the worship team, of like they hide out in the green room. But what I'm saying is, like, I feel a responsibility to lead and manage and hold accountable my team of volunteers, which is kind of what we're talking about. Like, these people who've signed up and say, I want to use my gifts for the Lord. I want to be in this, like, kind of, you know, what we do in the Western church with, like, holding a large gathering and we lead people in music. Like, the whole reason this podcast exists is because of there's a lot of people like that. Yeah. And so how do we hold those people into like growth and opportunities. But then there's also like the platform leadership where you stand up in front of your entire church and you try to lead them. And then you go out in your lobby and you're like building relationships with, you know, Joe Screwdriver who works at the construction company, and you just want to love on him and let him know like that you want him to grow as a disciple. And so that gets all muddled in your head. And so I feel you, Dave, on like the, am I swinging and missing on a lot of these things? But the more I'm just like kind of allow myself to, as the opportunities come and as I push myself to grow as a leader, when I get in front of my team specifically, am I pursuing those relationships just to say like, man, I really wish my bass player hit the right note more at all. Sorry to shout out the bass players, but I wish he played the right notes more. And so I need to get coffee with him. Like if it starts there, I think you're kind of flip-flopped. Yeah. I'm like, go chase down your bass player to know him as a person, which we talked about last week of like, you got to see him as more than the role. But then in those conversations, it's going to come up because he's decided to give himself over, herself over to the service, to the church. There's going to be aspirations and desires they put in front of you.
Yeah.
And that's naturally going to go, hey, I'd love to help you with that. I'd love, you know, if they're content to be, you know, where they're at, that's a harder thing to coach, but it's an easier thing when they volunteer, like, I know I could do better. I'm like, can I just give you some simple resources and tips that I think could actually like make a huge difference? And the coaching starts to flow naturally from relationship.
But, yeah. I was thinking that sometimes the relationship is the catalyst for the coaching, right? Because out of conversation and relationship, it naturally can come up, and that gives you an open door to have a conversation with someone. But sometimes, this is the other thing I've realized, sometimes the relationship shapes my coaching.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is sometimes you go, man, here's a mom, she's got three kids and a busy schedule, she's working part-time, she has this other side thing, there's this other major thing happening in their life that she's dealing with aging parents, you know, or something. Yeah. And all of a sudden, my grace bank goes way up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I recognize, man, what she's bringing to the table is everything that she can bring.
Yeah. Right.
And it might almost be more than what she can bring. And so all of a sudden, my grace bank will go up quite a bit.
Yeah. The biblical term would be the widow's mite, right? You know, where it's like, it wasn't as much as the Pharisees were bringing in that moment.
But it was
the Lord's going, she's given all that she has.
Right.
And I do, that's a great point that we have to approach our people that way of, if you hold everybody to the exact same standard, you're going to be disappointed all the time. And you're not going to treat them with the level of grace they need. But yeah, that grace bank rising based off the relationship is huge.
Yeah. So we talk about how relationships are a really, really foundational part of this. But then we can also talk about people can't meet expectations if we don't first clarify them.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think let's talk a little bit about kind of point two in this whole thing is clarifying expectations. I'll share kind of how we try and go about it, and then you guys can expound on it. When we do auditions, so it starts there, and we actually clarify with them, here are some of the base expectations for someone joining our team. Then we'll often follow up about once a year. We'll do a team time together. We'll do a lunch together on a Sunday where we kind of walk through with specific groups from our team. So just vocalists, just our keyboard players and piano players, et cetera, bass players, drummers, guitar players. But we'll do a workshop kind of with them where we revisit those base expectations. And they're in writing. We have a sheet we're kind of all looking at and talking about. And so we try and those are two of the ways that we try and maybe clarify, here's some of the base expectations. It doesn't get into the minutiae of like, here's how you prepare, but it talks about preparation and it clarifies some of the base expectations. So then we can go back to some of those things. We also talk about four things that are important to us. We talk about when we're doing an onboarding process, an audition process, we'll talk about character, competency, chemistry, culture, and commitment. We talk about these five C things that then we have that conversation early on, because then if someone is consistently late to a rehearsal, we can go back, hey, remember when we were first talking about you being on the team, we talked about commitment and what that means. I mean, showing up on time. what's going on in your life right now that's making that difficult?
Yeah.
So we have something to go back to because we've clarified the expectation. So those are some really maybe simple, practical things that we do early on, and then we try and use them to kind of follow up on. But what do you guys do to clarify expectations for your teams?
Yeah, super similar. I mean, the initial conversations of anybody joining our team, we try to get as much in front of them early on because it allows them to know what they're signing up for. Because I think, you know, again, like church, and if people are coming from different church backgrounds or maybe no church background and they just played music in other environments, everybody kind of carries in like, oh, this is how this works. And your church has a specific culture and you as a leader should have a specific leadership expectations that are being played out. And so the more I think you can get in front of somebody early on, like you're saying, Dave, allows you to have something to go back to, because the you know, unmet expectations are the downfall of every relationship. And, you know, that's true in a marriage, that's true in a friendship. And so if you're like, just kind of like, well, this is how I've always done it and how our teams existed, and this new person's on now and they're just like not meeting your expectations, but in their mind, they're doing everything they used to do on XYZ team or what they just assume are the expectations. And then the first conversation you have is one of difficult, saying you're failing. That's a really hard place to start with. And so I think, yeah, the more early on you just say, here's how we operate, here's the things that are expected of you. You know, I have some team members who are very much like, they're driven by expectations, meaning they struggle when they come in on a weekend, maybe like a vocal part wasn't very clear, or they're like, there's just some ambiguity and I can see it in them. They're like stressed out that there wasn't clear expectations put in front of them. Others, like, they thrive in that. They're like, oh, it's open, I'll do whatever I want then. And that's where culture starts to drift and the danger of that. So yeah, we've just kind of, we've put some, the things that are kind of the big rocks for our team, we put in front of people very early on, like in the application process before an audition is even scheduled for them. Because I think it, in a good way, it kind of prunes the people who go, oh, that's way too much for me. I can't do that. I can't meet those expectations. And it saves a lot of heartache on both sides. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all talking similar language. It might just look a little different during, depending on the context you're in. Like, again, we kind of have that process. I mean, whenever you might have people come up to you all the time, be like, I want to be on the team. What do I have to do? And so it's always good to have like that base of like, well, we've got an application process. So, cause then again, you, if they take the time to fill something out, you know, they're committed to do that. But then the other side of things too, is you want to be able to get together and kind of see where they're at. Cause I know, you know, when I was younger, I was like, oh, I'm really good at guitar. And then you get next to somebody else, you're like, oh, I'm not really good at guitar. But you're able to kind of walk together and see. I think some of it comes down to, you know, like there's the things like the easy things like, hey, we rehearse these times, so these are your time commitments as far as like week in and week out. But then there's the expectations of like, you know, well, what am I supposed to come in with, and how do you want us to prepare? Because everybody's time is valuable, so it's not like you don't want to be able to come into rehearsal and be like, hey, am I supposed to play quarter notes there? Or like, you know, like you want people to come in ready for that. So one of our expectations is like, make sure you go back, listen to the song, listen to your part, and try to do what you can to match that. Like, we're not going to sound necessarily like Elevation or, you know, whatever, you know, some of those songs that there's like six guitar parts on, you know, six, but we want to be able to know that we know the music well, and that we can put, you know, our best foot forward in that and try to replicate as best we can in that process. And this might lead into maybe the next part of this, but, you know, resources, like we talk through like different resources. Like, I'm not expecting people to come in and like, yeah, here's, I mean, I'm not an electric guitar player by trade. I can play some rhythm electric, but more so I'm an acoustic guy, or I'm not a drummer, or I'm not a bass player. So it's a lot harder for me to guide them and give them really good definition. So we try to provide some different resources, some online resources that where it's like, hey, here are some tutorials. And if I can't find like a certain song in those tutorials, then I'm researching, trying to prepare them. Hey, here's some things I found that hopefully will help you to know what we're looking for and to give you a resource to be able to practice for that as you come into rehearsal. Yep. So that when we come together, we're trying to figure out the chemistry and the cohesion and the things that you talked about, Dave, like, There are some that are really good players, like instrumentalists, things like that. But playing with a team, is new to them. You know, like I've worked with some people and that's one of their big, the things that's hard to transfer over for them. Like somebody who maybe is really good on piano, but they've never played with a team before. They've always been the lead instrument. Yeah. So how do you play, you know, what are the spots you play and how do you play with the team and really work together? And I think that, again, as you journey together, and you say, man, we're in this together. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what we can bring before the Lord on a Sunday or whatever your context is. And that as we do that, we're doing that together. And so I feel like that's been one of the greatest things as a team. When we all have that mindset, like, let's give our best to the Lord. And so, like, if there's questions on a Sunday, it's not like, hey, you missed that part. You know, like other people calling out. Like, hey, what if you did this? Or, hey, it's actually, we're supposed to come in on this one. And when the team works together and we're working together as a, you know, putting all our teamwork together, man, it just all comes out and it's a beautiful offering. But again, if you don't have the clarity and the expectations, sometimes you don't know where to start, you know?
Yeah. So we talked about relationships and clarifying expectations and sharing resources. When you share the right resources, it helps people meet the expectations. One of our expectations for our team, and we talk about this, and I think you guys are similar in this, the two of you are, we say this, Wednesday nights are not a practice, they're a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. You practice at home.
Yep.
Now, if someone's going to practice at home, they have to have the right resources, right? And so this is, Planning Center doesn't sponsor this podcast. They could if they wanted to yet. But like Planning Center has a great tool where you can like transpose, warp the MP3 of your song and put it in the key that you're going to actually sing it in. Now, sometimes it sounds like chipmunks or Darth Vader, but like you can still play along with it. So that's a very, very practical resource you can provide for your team so they can come in prepared and meet that expectation, be able to at least sing along or play the part. Because you can't expect people, we can't expect people on our team to meet this expectation if we don't resource them. And that's a really practical way that, that we all, I think, do something. So, but another step in this is like, how do you then continue to, I guess, hold them accountable? The phrase we use is have ongoing encouragement and follow up with them.
Yeah.
And because sometimes you build relationships, you clarify expectations, you share resources, but then someone is still not quite getting there.
Yeah.
So then how do we go about that as leaders? How do we have those conversations that include follow-up and encouragement?
Yeah, I mean, you have to have, we call them hot conversations, right? Honest, open, transparent conversations. And so you have to kind of be willing to get in the messy with your people, meaning, it's just, my personality tends this way. I don't know if anybody else could relate of it'd be a lot easier to just, wasn't that big a deal? Right. Monday morning comes. It's like, it was fine that they didn't prepare and they were underprepared this weekend. Like God was glorified and, you know, we're good. And that goes on for a while. And if you're not willing to say, hey, you know, the consistently late person or the person who, you know, is maybe doing some of the things, but you're just not seeing any improvement. If you're not willing to like sit down with them and have that, give them that feedback. In their mind, they could be thinking, I must be doing really well. I must be doing everything that's being asked me. I must be progressing the way that we've been talking about. And then they're waiting for either a invitation to another level or a certain level of encouragement that you're not providing because you don't want to insult them. Mm-hmm. And so you're withholding everything. And that's going to be just as frustrating for that person, I think. And for your team, because it's kind of like, well, now I don't feel like the leadership's present in this coaching environment. It's kind of like we had this kind of, you know, meeting or this conversation and there was all this talk and resources are being given to me and things like that. And I think I'm doing okay, but I'm not hearing anything. Yeah. And so I think, you have to be willing to get in there and you have to be honest. And maybe, you know, some of that for me is like imposter syndrome can creep in. Like I'm not a piano player. I'm not a this, but I know what
you want,
what I want. Yeah. And so can I articulate that to them and say, hey, this may not translate like super well, but let me just, here's where I feel like we're kind of missing it and talk through that and do my own research to have a good, healthy conversation with them. And I think from that can, you know, either lead towards, okay, here's the things you might need that I'm not giving you, like the research, like I may think I'm giving you all the right resources and you know, I'm actually not. I need to be more clear on these type of things. Whereas I have somebody else on the team who doesn't need that much direction and doesn't need that kind of thing, but it's actually, you're just, your brain's wired different or you play different. You have a different background context. You know, with piano players, we feel this a lot, right? It's like, if you get a traditionally classically trained piano player on a modern worship team, yeah, where you're asking them to play a lot of block chords, like one and fives and pads are now mixed in there and stuff. And they're just like, where's my sheet music? You know,
right.
It'd be silly of me to be like, well, it's a chord chair. Like, just figure it out. You're classically trained. You got it. And that, they're actually like, well, yeah, I can play the chord, but like, this makes no sense to me in the context of how I'm playing. Kind of what you're talking about, like playing with the band or things like that. And so if you're just frustrated by that constantly and you never sit down with them and have that follow-up conversation of like, hey, I know you're classically trained, classical into kind of this modern pop style that we're trying to play, you have to think through these things. And so I think as a leader, you have to get into being willing to have uncomfortable conversations where you're talking about people's growth points. And it can't always be, you know, the encouragement isn't necessarily always you crushed it. The encouragement is, hey, you did this one thing really well. So, you know, we always say like compliment sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Like start, here's what, I love the passion that I'm seeing. I see you working hard at it. We're still struggling with getting those lead lines on those songs. And so how can I, like, let's talk through how that can be more clarified for you. And then, hey, like your spirit in the room has been incredible. And what you bring to the team in that, like, please continue your leadership in that way. And that way it's not like every time you meet with them, all they're hearing is the stuff they're failing at.
But. Yeah. Well, and the reality is in leadership, like if we don't do that, and I think we would want this for ourselves too, but when we don't do that, we do a disservice to them, you know, to, right, because we want them to get better. We believe that, you know, that they have the ability and opportunities to get better at their craft. And it, just like we do, that's the hope and the thing, but it kind of flashes me back to, like, you know, the old school American Idols where it's like somebody gets up and then it's, you have a Simon Cowell or Randy Jackson, like, yeah, like, yeah, my church, they told me I'm a really good singer, and it doesn't have to be the church, but let's just use that for this context. And then Randy G, I just remember him like, you shouldn't be singing. You shouldn't be leading worship. Nah, dog. And it's like, you know, you don't want that to go, because we know that, like, sometimes people serve at our church for a season and then they move. And so, you know, you want them to grow so that the next team, they can bless the next team. Yep. And so, but it does, it goes back to what we talked about at the very beginning. It all comes back to relationship, mm-hmm, and being able to have, it makes those moments, it doesn't make them necessarily any less tough,
yeah,
but they make it a little bit easier when you have that relationship and the camaraderie in there where we're all trying to accomplish the same goal,
yeah,
you know, in that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's really, really good. So just like relationships aren't a single moment in time, like there's something you continue to invest in, I believe coaching and encouragement is also it's the same thing. It's a process. It's a journey. And the longer I have the privilege of serving in worship ministry, the more I realize both of those things are so true, that relationships take time, coaching, follow-up, feedback, it happens over time. And I'm learning sometimes the hard way, but I'm learning that sometimes you have to take the long road approach to this, if that makes sense. Or what I mean by that is sometimes I'll go, all right, let's just sit down and have one meeting and we're just going to knock out these three things. Sometimes there's wisdom in going like, I think that might be too much for this person. So that has to be, coaching has to be customized, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. Where our person is. So maybe instead of hitting all three points of this next meeting I'm going to have, you know, I'm going, well, you know, I just need to listen.
Yeah.
And then just say, let's follow up in a couple of weeks. You don't have to solve every problem today.
Yeah.
Or every, you know, coaching moment doesn't need to be resolved today.
Yeah.
Like you've got time.
Yeah.
In most situations you have time.
I think something you brought up too was self-awareness. Yes. And that's a big piece of this. And so, like, even the listening piece, like a great question could be, how do you think it's going? or how do you think that went, that, you know, we gave you this opportunity or this, we put you up and you played or whatever, like, how do you think it went?
Yeah.
And if you have your own feedback, withholding that in the beginning is sometimes helpful for them to figure out, are they self-aware to where when I give them this feedback, they're going to be able to receive it and see it versus the American Idol context where it's like, I'm the best singer. I'm God's gift to singing, you know, and somebody has to be like, no, you're not.
That's really good, Brent, because sometimes you will find in those moments that they will be ahead of you in your conversation.
Yeah.
And they're already going, I actually think that the reason I wasn't prepared is because I didn't practice like I should have. And then I just need to leave my house a little bit earlier so I'm on time. And you go, yeah, that's really, really good. I was, let's go after that. You know, and you don't have to be the one saying, hey, here's what you need to do. They're already there.
They're there.
Right.
Yep.
Now it's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Is when somebody says, I think I'm great.
Yeah.
I think it's going fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody loves me.
Yeah.
And I'm nailing it. And then you as a leader are going, self-awareness thing.
Yeah, so
what if they're not?
Dave, go ahead and tell us exactly what to do in that situation.
That sounds like a great one for another podcast.
So
with guest.
So somebody may be listening to this and they're going like, I'm kind of struggling, guys, because why are you pushing people to like maybe to keep getting better? Is that like some God of excellence? You know, I'm like, no, I always come back to like, I firmly believe that God deserves our very best.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And whatever we do as we're leading worship, I don't want it to be a distraction for people connecting to the Lord in worship.
Yeah. Right.
So for me, those two things, like I don't want anything we do to be a distraction. I want to be able to facilitate worship and lead people to Jesus and not have distractions along the way. And I truly believe the God who is the author of creativity and anything, if you look around yourself, anything beautiful and good, it's created from him. He has created the best stuff that's out there.
Yeah.
He's the author of that. I think he deserves our very best. And so I use, I believe that those are two of the most powerful motivating factors. Not like we value excellence, right? To do things perfect. No, God deserves our very best. And so those are motivating factors for me to try and encourage others to continue to grow.
Yeah.
And whatever they may offer to a team, as a singer or a musician or someone in production.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think we got time for maybe one more segment. We could talk for like probably hours about this whole coaching side of things because it's an ongoing part of worship leadership and ministry. But we're going to pivot to the one final segment that we have titled Word for the Week. And Chris, you had something you want to share this morning as an encouragement to someone who may be tuning in today. What's the word for the week?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, for me, as I think about this, the big concept was be grounded, you know, be where God has you. Like, I know, even going back to like the last conversation we had where I think, Dave, you had kind of overheard somebody and maybe they were just discouraged. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of this goes back to the team concept. You know, when we talk about this, when it comes to relationships, If you stay grounded where you at, if you're where God has you, the opportunity to build relationships with your team and with those in your congregation, it just gives greater longevity, the opportunity to witness and see what God's doing and the journey, because we're all on a journey, whether it's discipleship or worship, whatever, but to see that journey from like when you first started maybe at the church you're at, and 5 years later, and to be able to look and see just the way God worked and all that. And I know it's real easy at times to think grass is greener on the other side or to see what other people have at their church and what you don't have. But man, there's so much value and I think opportunity for just growth and thankfulness when we just take that opportunity to say, man, I'm going to be grounded where I'm at. God has me here for a reason. Mm-hmm. I want to be where God has me. And you take those opportunities to invest and dig in and really grind, you know, in the trenches of where you're at and to be able to see the blessings that God gives you and your team and your church in that process. So that was just the thing that stood out to me as we were kind of working through and talking through for this episode.
That's good. Be grounded.
Be grounded.
I heard someone say a few years ago, you can only grow where you're planted. And I think that's so, so true. And I remember hearing Paul Balazs talk. Somebody asked him once, Paul, why did you stay for 25 years, 26 years, 20-something years at this small church in Lindale, Texas? And he goes, he said, because I realized that we just decided that that was going to be the place where we were going to grow. We were going to plug in, we were going to be planted, and that we were going to allow ourselves to grow. So I hope that encourages someone today, maybe is feeling discouraged, like maybe in this season that God has you in, just remember that God has called you to be at that church in this season, in this time, and maybe it's for a specific purpose. Maybe he desires to see you continue to grow. So until next time, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening to this. We want to encourage you to stay connected and stay encouraged.